Welcome to Change Management Podcast by The Change Compass. If you like what you hear, please subscribe.
Hi, everyone. So we have a very special guest with us today. And the topic for today is to scale change capability successfully at a large enterprise. And we're lucky to have with us today, Yana. Yana is Israelson. He's working at Telia, a big Swedish telecom company. And we would love to just pick his brains around, you know, how do we really build that at scale in terms of building change capability and really, you know, leverage on him in terms of a lot of his lessons learned and how he's really approached that big topic, I guess. So welcome, Yana.
Thank you, An. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks, Yana. Just a little bit of intro for our listeners about Yana. So Yana started out his career as a teacher. Then he's had a few different roles. He's moved into IT, gone into various leadership roles, and then now he's moved into change management. He's worked in actually various industries such as biotech, pharmaceuticals, and now in telco. He's led a lot of really large IT operations organizations, as well as some of the smaller expert teams as well. He's currently the director of change management at Telia. So Yana, thanks for agreeing to have a chat to us and, you know, share your experience with all the listeners out there. Now, it's really interesting. I found it fascinating that, you know, given your experience of moving from being a tech leader to leading change management, what's been your personal experience and what's been some of those challenges? Because, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, like, you know, for us working in change, it's typically very kind of, you know, people focus. It's all about managing expectations, emotions, behaviors, which, you know, for a lot of people, it's kind of the folks that work in change management often have fairly different skill sets compared to the IT guys, which are very, you know, black and white, very systematic, very structured in their approach. What are your thoughts?
No, I think just connecting back to that, I think the name of the game here for me has always been that these are all also people, right? So they're also humans. So, absolutely. And as I mentioned, coming from a sort of teaching background, so regardless if I've been very interested in technology and IT and all of that, there's always been a flavor of people as such. So you could say that I've been a bit of an odd bird. In the management teams that I've been, everyone has been super techie, and I've always been sort of, hey, shouldn't we think about the people as well? At the same time as we're doing all these development or cloud journeys or whatever we do. So I think so that circle is becoming a bit close, sort of focusing, starting on people, and now going back to sort of how can we enable and support the people to do these massive transformations that we in Telia are doing and everyone else is doing. So I think the combination there of technology and the people view has been a great sort of strength, I would say, for myself during my career.
Yeah, really interesting because, I mean, it's great to hear you talk about the importance of the focus on people because I guess that's critical for any leadership role, isn't it? You know, how you engage the team, how you motivate it, how you get them to perform, right? And so have you also found that the way you manage change management teams is different to how you would manage IT teams or the same? What's been your experience?
I think it's fairly similar in terms of managing an IT team. We have an IT solution or a consolidation of some sorts that also includes people, right? So you have a very similar approach, I would say, now looking at we have a new solution that we're going to implement company-wide. It doesn't really matter if it's local or sort of group-wide. It's the same thing, right? So there's a solution of some sorts that we need to implement, and we have the people involved in that. So I would say it's been fairly similar and coming back to what I said, perhaps being a bit of the odd bird, but now sort of really found home, if you would say so. So truly sort of passionate about helping people to adopt and really use all the fantastic things that we are developing as a company.
Yeah, that's really fantastic to hear. And I guess it kind of makes sense in the way that when we look at the development of agile approaches in tech and in project management, it is very much focused on people and how we organize people, isn't it? The focus, that is a key focus, right?
Yeah. No, I think if you talk to all the vendors, sort of not naming anyone, but all the big players moving to agile, cloud, or whatever, they all really emphasize this is a technology thing for sure, but this is a foremost a people thing, a cultural thing, a mindset change. So you have to focus on that as well if you want this to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously for me, working in change for a number of years, it's great to finally see that, you know, turn around across different disciplines. Whereas before, it's kind of like us, you know, knocking on the door saying, you know, please don't forget the people. But now it's kind of the other way around, which is, you know, very, very refreshing. Jana, let's talk a bit more about your work in, you know, building that wide-ranging change capability at Tilia. And just maybe actually for our listeners, Tilia is one of the largest telecom companies in Sweden, isn't it? Because I think it used to be a...
Yeah, we are the largest.
Yeah, we are the largest. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you guys also have...
Also Nordics. So Nordics, Baltics, we are the largest one.
Yeah, absolutely. And in such a large company, how... Like when you were thinking about building change capability, maybe walk us through that journey of what made you really establish that goal to start with? Like, what were you seeing within the organization? Why is it so critical? And how did that really shape your approach?
So I would say, and I will probably say this many times during this discussion, there has to be a sponsor that really finds this sort of, we have to do change management. So my manager, Timothy Boyd, head of transformation, comes in sort of a year ago, sort of, where is change management? Who is handling change management? No one was really taking a sort of full grip on the company-wide change management approach. I was around in the organization. This job ad was posted. I applied and got the job. And then sort of we started this journey. Before this, there's been change management all over the place in Telia, but not really structured and with sort of people on the right level, because you need to have both sponsors and also people driving this in the right positions on the right level to be able to reach sort of company-wide as such. So that is definitely what got us going with change management here at Telia.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, absolutely having a sponsor is really critical. I mean, I guess for our change folks, we know that's critical within our project. But I guess in this case, you're working across the company, right? You're working about, it's really about building the capability. Yeah,
for sure. So, and you need to have someone that really sort of sees this as a necessity, the same as you need to see people really focusing on the technology part, how can we develop that in the best possible way. There needs to also be someone that sort of, okay, great stuff, we're on the right way with the technology, where are we with the people? Because as we know, we need both to get the success that we're striving for.
Right. And when you start to work with a sponsor, were there key objectives or goals that you were really trying to meet in the beginning?
So I think the approach that we have had is that myself and Tim then included, we do not believe in sort of a central, big central team that sort of lends out resources here and there. Our firm belief is that we should have a super small core team, a center of excellence that we have established. And then we're building with a virtual setup in the different local countries and other units, because that sort of change happens out in business, right? It doesn't happen in a group function. So that has been the approach. So first year now has been a lot of training, building the capabilities, training practitioners, sponsors, leaders, etc. But as we are a big company, 20,000 plus people, it sort of takes time. But it's definitely, that has been the approach that we've had. So that would be definitely a recommendation. So don't try to build something big, sort of, I want all the consultants in my team to send them out to do massive great work. That's one approach. Personally, I don't believe in it because, as I said, change happens out there in the business. You need to be out there. You need to be credible. And that's been sort of the way that we have approached it. So now, second year coming around now, we're sort of continuing to train both practitioners and leaders and sponsors, but we're also really focusing on activating these people that we have trained. Because, oh, great, we have 100 trained practitioners, but they don't do anything. So no value created, right? So it's really focusing for me and my few colleagues in the Center of Excellence to coach and support these people. And that is also why we've implemented a community of practice. So all people that we have trained, they are involved and invited to join this community of practice where we share updates, learn from each other, get support, coaching, etc., and share success stories. And we're starting to see some golden nuggets popping up here and there. So it's sort of, it's a really positive spiral, but it's just getting started. So we have a way to go.
That's great to hear. And is this the first time that Intellia, that this has been kind of built in terms of a cross-company center of excellence that's really, you know, helping to, I guess, draw the linkage across the different groups?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we have had excellent examples of change management in local sort of pockets here and there, but there's not been anyone sort of taking the full grip of that. So that has also been one sort of strength that I've seen, that knowing these people since I've been here 13 years now. So I've known sort of here and there we have good people working with change management or having the right mindset. So that was also one of the things that I tried to do as quickly as possible, to connect with these people, try to involve them, bring them on, and make sure that they were sort of feeling involved in this new journey that we started.
Fantastic. And Janne, let's maybe talk a little bit more about the capability and kind of what you've been working on. So I understand that you've been, you know, working with ProSight, that to, you know, basically you've really roll out the framework across the company. Is that your kind of first approach, as it were, to really build that foundational skill across leaders and practitioners?
Mm-hmm. So I think the obvious question here, why go for a framework sort of? And my viewpoint here is that people want to have simple things that they understand really quickly. And I also think that we, as Telia, we're not unique. So if it works for other people, it probably works for us as well, like the 80-20 rule. So we've been trying in some cases, trying to develop things our own, making our own Telia way of doing stuff. It could be going agile, could be change management or other things. But we concluded that we have some internal competence within ProSight. And we also felt that this is really simple. People understand ADCAR, for example. It's really simple to explain to people. So that is why we sort of said, let's go for ProSight. It's one of the large ones, and it's simple, easy to get going with. So that was fairly simple. It's been fairly sort of well positioned within the company, I would say. But I have also been very sort of open and transparent in that this is a starting point, and then we'll probably develop because we have a lot of experienced people out there with other viewpoints perhaps. So let's start with this, and then we'll transition into something else perhaps, but we will not start by trying to figure things out on our own. We'll do the opposite. We'll start sort of with some books and guidance, etc., and then we'll transition into something else. So That has proven really successful, I know, by other companies as well. And coming back to, again, we're not unique. We need to be smart. We don't have time to develop our own stuff. So this works. And we have started with that. And people really like it and enjoy it. So let's see what it brings us.
I love how pragmatic you are, because it makes total sense, right? You want something that has proven to work, something that people can understand, that isn't too difficult to get. So that, yeah, that makes total sense. And Jana, just maybe looking at the next steps. So now that you've trained, how many people have you guys trained?
So we are around 50 plus practitioner right now. And right. I would say we probably trained 300-400 leaders as such. Wow. So we're sort of, but I said, we are a lot of people in the company. So I would probably say that we should be around 100 plus practitioners
right.
throughout the company when we're sort of getting close to finalizing that. And then my wish is that all leaders should have had the opportunity to take this training. Mm. But I've also taken the sort of perspective that I don't push this on people.
Mm.
So we want to create the pull effect. So it's been some areas, some countries were really fast on this. Said, hey, we know this one, please come and help us. Mm. Others has not been that fast, but now they're coming. Because they're hearing that we've heard about this new thing that you're doing. Can you help us? Because we also need to become more successful with our customers, etc. So, we have a really hectic autumn coming up with trainings here and there in all countries, both for leaders, practitioners, sponsors, etc. So we will be very busy, but happy busy.
yeah. It's a great approach because you. As you mentioned, you don't want to try and push it on people because it's not something that, well, I mean, if you don't feel you need it, you're not going to practice it, right? So, and I think that the approach you've taken is really great in the sense that, you know, it's almost like people hear about it, they want to jump in, they've heard what others are doing. So it's drawing them in to want to participate. So that's a really
good approach. I think also it gives you sort of an edge for yourself as well, that if you can't prove that this is valuable, then we shouldn't do it at all, right? So
right.
I think also it's sort of a selling point by itself. People should see that, hey, this is great stuff.
Yeah.
And then you want to get on board by yourself.
Yeah. And Jana, I know like before we were talking about, measuring the value of a big program like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, thanks to your sponsor and the commitment, you've managed to, gotten quite far in terms of really reaching different parts of the organization and really building that capability. I guess, now that you've done a lot of that great work, what are your thoughts in terms of really demonstrating the value of what's been invested so far?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is sort of one of the key questions. What we have done since we came, we're coming from a pro-sci background. We have looked at sort of what does the methodology and framework recommend. So we're starting to do the classical ones like adoption, usage, all of those things. And I see that the measuring part will be one of the key parts going forward in the autumn. To really nail that as a recommendation from this center of excellence, that if you want to measure, we recommend that you measure, obviously. Mm. These are the things that you should measure. We have not taken the approach sort of going full in, here are the 14 or 15 different KPIs or OKRs or whatever you call it that you should measure. Here's a very complicated area where you put things in and the matrix here and there. We want to keep it as simple as possible. But obviously, we want to show progress and value. And I think those basic things, just how many people are using it? Are they using it in the right way? Sort of, is the quality where it should be? Is the speed where it should be? So it doesn't have to be that complicated as a start. Then obviously, you can build a massive framework around just how to measure this. But as we are sort of we're year one now, but this is probably a 3-4 year long journey.
Yeah.
So this will be one of the things that will develop. And obviously the aim that I have is that we should be able to see this on sort of the last row that, when we did this implementation, it took this amount of time, people were this happy, the customers were happier, and we lower the cost with X, Y, Z, something like that. So it should be very sort of clear and tangible that if you also include change management, you get this outcome. If you don't, you will get this come. Sort of. So there are options for you. So this is this will be a really sort of strong thing coming. And I'm also sort of scanning my network and sort of other change management networks and forums to sort of get inspiration, what's sort of cooking, how can we do this in the best possible way without making it super complicated.
Yeah. I like what you talked about in terms of just really looking at how people are applying it and really using that to keep tab on the usage, the value, the application, and how that then shapes the results. So it's almost like a little bit like a human-centered approach when you think about just understanding the experience and how something is being utilized.
Yeah, because one example is that we're implementing a Plural site, or started implementing that. So massive sort of transformation towards something new. We need to transform our people towards cloud, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is a fantastic thing just to look at sort of, okay, we have it now. How many people are using it? Sort of, is it going the right way? Are they including it in their personal targets, et cetera, et cetera? So very simple things, but really powerful that you then can connect to the investment that you've done and what is the outcome then. Super simple, but really powerful. But obviously, you can make it super complex if you want to. But that's not me. So, but let's see. But I think that the keep it simple, it works, right? So yeah. Then you can always tweak and sort of reach the final 20%. But start with aiming for the 80. Then you will come a long, long way. And then you can start to fine tune. But we are not there in many years, I would say.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's absolutely a much more agile approach, isn't it? Just start with something basic, start with something that people will digest and can use immediately, and then tweak it as you go. I like that. Yeah. And so, Jana, when you, again, looking back on where the capability program has achieved so far and how far it's gone, for our listeners out there, is there anything you can share with them in terms of any lessons learned and even obstacles that you've come across? Any pointers that you think they should keep note when they're trying to roll out a large capability program like this?
Mm-hmm. So I think I mentioned it earlier. We have taken the standpoint that we are not unique, regardless if it's using a framework or whatever it is. If it works for someone else, if it works for one country, most likely it will work for all countries. You need to do some small tweaks and tunes, but we don't have time or money to develop things sort of special for all countries or areas. So that is one thing. Use 80-20. I use that a lot. Also, go for pull versus push. If you don't believe in change management, I've been there. You can't sell it. To some people, it's sort of, I spent years sometimes trying to sell it. They're not been ready. Yeah. And then something happens and boom, now they're there. Then it's time. They will come to you. So it's really sort of a tough sell if you're trying to push this on people. It will not work, at my viewpoint. And then also what I've tried to do a lot, I think this is where we hooked up, trying to create a buzz. And I use LinkedIn as much as I can. And to be honest, not because I want to reach a lot of external people, but I have a lot of people from Telia watching. So I have like 1,500 people watching every post that I do on LinkedIn that are from Telia. So this is how I pick up a lot of people that, hey, I saw your post on LinkedIn. Can you come and do this for us in our country or our unit? With sort of, you create that positive buzz. You see that, oh, something is happening.
Yeah.
And another thing there is obviously we're trying to hire a lot of developers like everyone else. Really fierce competition, right? With developers, AI people, and same as everywhere, right? Mm. And if I can help there, seeing that, hey, these guys, they are also focusing on the people. Perhaps that's a sort of deal breaker for someone. I'll go to Telia instead of Spotify or Klarna, because they are focusing also on the people, not only the high tech. So that is also one sort of recommendation. Try to create some positive buzz. Sort of, there are different ways of doing that, right? And then if you have timing is everything, I think. So if you have the opportunity to connect this to a burning platform, so in our case, we were doing a big transformation. So it's really easy connecting what we were doing to, this is the transformation, this is the strategy that we're working on with the company, and sort of to be able to succeed with this, we will use change management as one lever to help and support. So that is also a recommendation. And then also, if you need to get ahead in some cases, try to do that in a nice way. So if you don't get the support you need in some area, try to use other channels to reach sort of other people that you need on your side in this change, and then perhaps that will flip. So in many cases, you sort of, you find yourself, I've been speaking to this person now for 10 times, he or she doesn't get it, they don't see the viewpoint, but I hear that their organization is screaming for it. But this is up to this person. So perhaps you can use some informal leaders in that organization that talks to the person that you want to convince into working with change management. That could also be a good tip. So don't stop just because you get a sort of full no, because in many cases when I meet people in sort of reality, working, the people doing the actual work, they all love this. Most of the people just love it. Finally, we're looking at also the people. Great with technology. We are super great and techie, but finally someone is also looking at the people side. And if they then have a leader on top that is sort of, no, tech, this is tech. We do tech stuff. Perhaps you can get some help from informal leaders to conveying that person. Okay, let's try this for a quarter. Let's see what happens. Send a few people to training. See if it works. So that is also a recommendation.
I love go ahead.
No, and the final one, sponsor, or whatever you call it. You need to have someone, preferably above yourself, that is sort of focusing on this and has this on their radar. So as I had, my manager comes in, where's change management? There is no sort of no one keeping this together. Then this is what we have to have. And that would never have happened if Tim in this case would have come in. Because as I said, there's been pockets here and there of fantastic people, really skilled people, but no one has sort of had the target to drive this in a company wide approach. So few sort of tips and lessons learned that I've done during this time.
It's fantastic to hear. And I love what you've mentioned in terms of, you know, working with difficult stakeholders who don't get change management. And we know there's a lot of leaders out there who are in that boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I think you're absolutely right that in the sense you, if someone says no, like they're not going to say yes overnight, and maybe then it's just not the right time. They're not in the mental state to say yes. And as you mentioned, you could do it through another way, maybe pull strings using another leader within the organization that they work with, etc. But it's almost like if you're trying to sell something to someone who doesn't need it, then there's no point, right? They're not going to.
No, exactly. No. And most likely you are too busy to sort of spending time on that person over and over again, because they will come to you when they sort of realize that, okay, now I need this, please help me. Then the timing is right.
Yeah. It's almost like trying to prescribe drugs to someone who's not going to take it anyway. It's pointless.
Yeah, exactly. It's useless, sort of.
Yeah. The other thing I love what you mentioned was that actually looking at that external lens to really see how this might help the company. So by really showing the investment in people and capability, that actually has an external value as well for the company and really using that to build the value.
And we all, obviously we're using sort of our internal channels like Yammer, Teams, all of those as well. But I did some posts on LinkedIn a few years back, and then I saw that, okay, I get the usual sort of external viewpoints from our sort of vendors that we're, or partners that we're using. But hey, there's many, many, many more from Telia looking at what I'm doing. So
that's great. Good experiment.
Yeah, exactly. So that is, and it doesn't cost anything, right? So it's super simple, but really gets a positive vibe around what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, in some ways, some people trust or rely on external platforms more than internal intranets because you don't have that corporate speak necessarily, right?
No, exactly. So I think for what we have found is a good balance of both. And then previously to COVID, I did a lot of traveling. So traveled around in the offices because, again, change happens out there. It doesn't happen in Solna, Stockholm, where I am located. But with COVID, you had to rethink that a bit as well. So do sort of structural approaches on let's talk with Norway, let's talk with Finland, let's talk with Denmark, because we no one could go there, right? It's been the same everywhere, right? So, but now we're coming back and we really see, we will not, as I see it in Telia, we will not travel as we did before. I will fly over to do a meeting for an hour and then fly back. Ain't going to happen. But people really value when we have come out to do a physical or face-to-face training with sort of 30, 40 people in the same room with breakouts and discussions, and sort of people are really, really pumped about that. So so we were in Vilnius actually before summer, did a sort of test run of a new leadership training that we have for a full day. And now we're called back for 2 days in August. So there were a sort of waiting line of people that wanted to attend. So fantastic. And now other countries are picking up on that. What did you do in Vilnius? Yeah, we did this. We want this in our country as well. And again, we haven't pushed anything. So again, using this pull effect, showing the value, and then people talk. It's a big company, but it's small as such, right? So people talk as they should. And this is something that you should definitely use.
It's really great to hear. And Jana, my final question for you, what's coming up in the next horizon in terms of this program and what you're planning?
So I think as I was into it a bit, we will continue to roll out this training, both in terms of people working with change management as such, as practitioners, and also sort of scaling this leadership part and also employee orientation, because now people are starting to talk about ADCAR, for example. So my manager talked about ADCAR. What is ADCAR? So we will do some short sort of employee orientations, perhaps in a larger scale, perhaps recorded. So that will be one thing. And then next thing will be the activation of the practitioner. So they are out there now in sort of key initiatives or projects or agile initiatives. We need to help them to get sort of started and use and leverage what they have gotten as a theoretical part. So that is the second one. And then the third, we're also planning to do a sort of baseline, a measurement of where are we in terms of change management. Again, using the methodology, it's there. You can use it. You can compare it to other companies. So that is also coming into play this autumn. But as I said, it will be tons of stuff because it's really, really picking up now in terms of training. We need help here and there. So really, really looking forward to using our virtual people out in the company. So we have this center of excellence, as I mentioned. We are only three people in the central part, me and two colleagues. And then we have one representative per country. So it's not a massive amount of people, and they are not doing this full time. Me and my two colleagues, we're doing this full time. But so it's, you can do a lot of stuff without, you don't have to have masses of people. What you need to have masses of people is out there in reality, in the initiatives, in the projects, or the agile transformation. This is where you should bet sort of on resources, not in the central part. So it will be super busy times, but super fun as well. I've been here a long time, and I've sort of, this is probably the time here at Telia where I've enjoyed my the most. So really fantastic days at work.
That's great. Fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing all of your insights with our listeners, because, you know, it sounds it's been quite a large undertaking over, you know, a number of years. And it's great to kind of really hear from you outlining a lot of the lessons learned and the tips that you share with everyone. So fantastic.
Yeah, happy to share, everyone.
Great. So thanks again, Jana, and thanks for speaking with us, and looking forward to hearing more about how things pan out in the future as well.
Yeah, let's reconnect a year from now or so. Let's see where we are.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jana.
Thank you.